Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Chicago Bulls Sports Ethos coverage. I'm your host for tonight, Trey Hill. Out, as the usual host, is Keith Cork. He is currently moving his family across the country back to the lovely state of Illinois. So I'm stepping in as host, but not to fear. I have a friend of the pod at this point, not even guest, Stephen Bagel from the Bird Rights podcast. Thank you for coming on to talk some possible contract extensions, some cap spikes, some TV deals, all the fun number stuff. Thank you, sir, for coming on. Do your plugs.
Of course. Thanks for having me on. So I've actually been with Bird Rights on a little bit of hiatus. For those of you who know me, know that I did just take the bar exam again. So obviously, you know, leading up to that, I wasn't really producing much content. So this is actually my first, you know, I kind of been hibernating, I would say. And this is, you know, I'm just waking up and Trey asked me to come on. I couldn't say no to him. And yeah, so you can expect another Bird Rights coming out this weekend. And yeah, and you could hear me on this Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage.
Well, I am honored, sir, that you came out of hibernation to come help walk me through really the IO contract extension and what that's going to look like with him being a second round pick and everything that that entails. But before I get too far into this, Keith would kill me if I didn't plug the Sports Ethos Fantasy Basketball. It's at Ethos Fantasy BK. Right now, with everybody changing teams, everybody having new roles, it's the perfect time to follow the experts and to get like the edge really heading into the season. So if you want the best place to go to find those shortcuts, it's, again, at Ethos Fantasy BK. Go follow them. And also follow the show while you're at Ethos Bulls. So I did that. There you go, Keith. I hope you really like that. Let's get down to some business. I brought you on to talk about IO, like I said. But right now, Vucevic is kind of the name going around because the Bulls and Vucevic apparently are going to get together to talk extension. And for me personally, I'm a Vooch fan. But even if you're not a Vooch fan, the idea of losing this asset for nothing, I don't think that's something that is acceptable for even the biggest Vooch detractors. So what do you think the Bulls are looking at for Vucevic? If they do sign him to a contract extension, are they eligible to trade him this year? And just what's that situation looking like for us?
So let's start with the numbers. Vucevic is his starting, if he were to re-sign, he could start at $26.4 million. For a maximum of 4 years, $118 million. Now, when he re-signed with Orlando, it was 4 for $100, I believe he signed. And that contract was actually descending. So it started at like 24, went down to 22, went down to 20, whatever it may be. Whatever the map breaks down, I don't have on the top of my head exactly what the numbers broke down to be. But if I'm the Bulls, I'm going to see if he's willing to do that again. Because, you know, we'll get into it with IO, and, you know, Levine's only going to go up, DeRozan's only going to go up, so that's what I'm looking at. We could get into the specific amounts that Vucevic is, I just lost my train of thought, the specific amount that we, you know, would feel comfortable
that we think he's worth
as the Bulls, yeah. So we could get into that, but to make a long story short and answer your question, we saw actually a few times this year in the NBA where free agents actually signed extensions on like June 30th during the moratorium period, so they'd be trade eligible right away. We saw Robert Covington do that with the Clippers very early on in free agency. And then after guys, I can't think of off the top of my head everyone, but like Thaddeus Young, for example, he was a free agent with Toronto. They announced he re-signed him, but they actually did it. Same thing with Gary Harris in Orlando. That's what I was missing. Those two guys ended up just signing extensions with their team, so they're eligible to be traded right away.
That's good to know.
So, Vucevic, you could give him an extension anytime up until through the moratorium, up until June 30th, and he'd be trade eligible right away.
The Vuce haters will be glad to know that even if he signs the extension, they are eligible to ship him right out. His last extension, you said 4 for $100, that, you know, it's $25 million a year. To me, I don't even think I want to pay him on average $20 million a year. But if he's willing to do the descending salary, I think the max I'm really willing to go is 3 years, $54 million. So that's $18 million on average, but it would be $20 million, $18 million, $16 million. And like, as a Bulls fan, I think that's about as high as I'm willing to go. You're an outsider, but you do love the cap. You love contracts. You love that sort of thing. When you looked at it, what did you kind of set as your highest market price you'd be willing to buy it if you were the Bulls front office?
I actually was thinking, before you just said 18, I was thinking about 17 and a half. So you're actually pretty spot on just from a standpoint of what.
Well, I'm good with 17 and a half, but if you do a nice even number like 18, it's way easier for someone like me to do the math. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's hard because he's going to be 33 years old by the time the new contract or the new extension kicks in. So I can't imagine a 4-year deal. I can't picture them signing him until he's 36 years old. So I feel like it's going to be something along the lines of, okay, fine. We won't. Vucevic's agent could say something along the lines of, okay, I'll accept that you won't give him the max, but we want a larger annual value. Instead of 18 a year for 4 years, we'll take 21 for 3 years a year. So that's where it kind of gets tricky. If you knock out one of those years, saying, okay, you're 36 years old at the end of this contract, we're not giving you 4 years, they're going to want more money up front. So that's where it does get a little tricky.
I think the Bulls are going to go into it looking to give him 2 years. So I think 3 years is going to end up being the compromise. Yeah,
it's definitely possible.
But I think we're pretty well on the same page in terms of Vuce's value when it comes to how much you want to try and pay him as your starting center going into the next few years, because Simanovic he's not the answer going forward. Andre Drummond is not going to be the answer going forward. So Vucevic, whether you like him or not, unless he gets traded, he's looking to be the starter going forward. Now for the main event of why I brought you on. Io was a second round pick, and I see in your notes here that the Bulls decided to give Simanovic that third year instead of Dosunmu. So as a result, Simanovic would have been eligible, or Simanovic is eligible for the 5 years, 120, while Io can only get the 468. So, however, another team can offer Io, 4 years, 89?
80, yeah. I have 83 written down, but it's 89. Yep.
Yeah, 89 and a half. So Io potentially could get paid a lot of money going into next year. Can you kind of explain why the Bulls aren't able to offer him as much as everybody else, and just kind of what the rules are around all of that?
Sure. So I'm going to go back to last offseason. The Bulls signed Alex Caruso for basically the entire MLE. I think they left $900,000 left over. At that point, when they were willing to bring Simonovic over and they drafted Dosunmu, only one of them are able to get that $900,000 chunk. So, I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that conversation. Maybe Dosunmu only wanted the 2-year minimum because of the fact that, you know, he gets paid quicker that way. He gets paid after 2 years rather than the full rookie deal.
You do hear a lot about it from like draft experts. Mm-hmm. About second round picks having deals in places with teams. So maybe that was part of it, that he could hit free agency that much quicker.
It's definitely conceivable that Io's agent said, okay, look, he just was an All-American. We think he was a first round talent. he doesn't want the third year. He just wants to, he'll take the 2-year minimum, and then, you know, he'll get paid quicker. As Dion Waiters once said, bettering yourself and double down. So that's my thinking, because I can't imagine them willingly, after drafting Io, giving Simonovic the third year. But either way, as a result, Simonovic has the third year, and he's eligible for, as you said, the 5 for $120, while Ayo is only eligible for the Bulls to sign 4 for $68. So Ayo, because is it Ayo or Io? I've been saying both.
Io, I believe.
Io, yeah. I used to call him Ayo in college all the time, but okay. So Io is, let me see. I'm just looking at my notes here. Basically, what the rule is it's called the Gilbert Arenas provision. It started back in 2003 when the Warriors had early bird rights on Gilbert Arenas, and he signed an offer sheet with the Wizards at $8.5 million. Golden State didn't have the cap space, and they were only able to offer him with his early bird rights provision $4.9 million at the time. So as a result, they ended up losing him to the Wizards. And then when they negotiated a new CBA, they pointed to this and said, okay, like, how can incumbent teams keep their second round picks that outperform, you know, their draft right. stock and their contracts?
Right. And so that they basically changed it to where the team that drafted him, it was like a restricted free agency situation where the team could match it.
Yeah. So we're not looking at a Jalen Brunson Mavs situation because Jalen Brunson didn't get a player option, he's had a straight 4-year deal. He didn't get any restricted free agency, so he walked and went to the Knicks.
Right, the Bulls will have the option to match.
Io is restricted, so.
Right, and four for 89, that's a rich contract. And the way it works is it would be backloaded from the research that you did and put in on this. It would be $10 million, $10.5 million, then $11 million, and it jumps to $33 million, then to $34 million.
Well,
and
yeah,
25, 26.
That's the max. I mean, it could always conceivably, you know, what?
Right, that's the worst case scenario for the Bulls front office to have to match. I kind of see him more signing a 3-year deal, kind of at that $10.5 million with the raises, you know, kicked in there. So, you know, 10.5, maybe 12, then 14 or 15.
That's what I was going to say. There's two people I'm looking at when discussing this, you know, Gilbert Arenas provision. So basically, a team that's not the Bulls, the maximum they could offer AO in the first year is the mid non-taxpayer MLE, which, as you said, is 10.5. Then the second year, the 5% raise. But then the third year is when it could jump to the maximum that a third-year salary for a player with 1 to 2 years of NBA experience could get. And that's the $33 million. And then the fourth year will be $4.5 million on top of that. So that's the absolute max. He's not going to get that. I mean, as I said, the two players I would be looking at is one, Talen Horton-Tucker faced a similar situation with the Lakers. And he ended up signing what? 3 years starting at the MLE with the 5% raises. And that's what his contract is. So that's what I envision, something along those lines. But then I'm also looking at Tyler Johnson. The Gilbert Arenas provision hasn't been used in the NBA since 2016. And that was with Tyler Johnson when he was on the Heat. The Nets gave him some massive contract that was extremely backloaded. I think the first 2 years were $5.5 million, and the next 2 years were $19 and $20 million each. The Heat ended up matching it, and then they had to salary dump him at the 2019 trade deadline because, you know, that $19 million for Tyler Johnson is extensive. So
it is, and I believe there's supposed to be a good chunk of teams that have some cap space next year.
A lot of teams.
So we're it wouldn't surprise me for if Io continues to be a defensive stopper and shows some flashes on offense, for a team who strikes out on the big names in free agency to throw him an offer. But if he plays well enough to get the offer, I don't think there's any way the Bulls front office lets him walk. So worst case scenario, the Bulls might get stuck paying this guy a lot of money, but it's not going to be a Brunson situation, Bulls fans. We're not going to lose Io without getting a chance to match that contract.
At the very least, let's say, you know, I'm trying to think. I know the Spurs, the Pacers, and I believe the Pistons and Rockets. All four of those teams have legitimately $60 million in cap space this upcoming summer, which is absurd. I've never seen an offer. I know money's becoming abundant in the NBA nowadays with the cap spikes and everything like that. That's unheard of. That four teams have at least $60 million to spend. So let's say, you know, a Spurs or a Pacers or a Rockets or Pistons, whoever. They say, okay, fine, we'll do the full $89.5 million for them. That's really going to hamstring the Bulls. I mean, it's weird because the Bulls, because they have early bird rights, could only offer him the $68 million, but another team could offer him the $89 million, but the Bulls can match. So if he really outplays that $68 million overall this year, and you think, okay, he's a $20-plus million player a year, you have to kind of hope another team signs him so the Bulls have the opportunity to match. So it's a very convoluted and confusing provision that even I'm not a professional on. So that's where it gets tricky. And yeah, I mean, are you okay with in 24-25? I'm not going to say $33 million because that's a lot of money. Let's say he starts at the 2 for 21, like Talen Horton-Tucker did, the mid-level exception, and the third year jumps to $20 million, and then the fourth year as a result is like $22.5 million. Are you okay with that?
Oh, I'd have been fine paying him. If someone, if he plays well enough that someone's willing to max him out at that $33 million, I'm willing to pay it as a Bulls fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially, and we're going to get into this in a minute, with that new TV deal coming, that $34 million in 25-26, if we get another $30, $35 million cap spike, that $34 million is not going to be looking nearly as painful as, you know, we think it is at the, in this moment. So if the worst case scenario is we have this second year player who is so impactful in limited minutes because our guard rotation is crowded. He's not going to get tons and tons of playing time. So if he's able to play that well in the role he has, then good. That's the kind of player I want on the Bulls. So I'm happy even paying him that much. So I wanted to clarify that. And it doesn't hurt that he's a hometown boy.
Yeah, I have that in my notes as well. I mean, you would imagine he wants to stay. He's played college ball there. He grew up there. Odds are he's going to stay for his hometown team. Maybe he says, okay, I'm not going to get the playing time here because, as you said, the guard rotation is crowded. But, you know, you have...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coby White and expiring, you would imagine they're going to pick between White and Dosunmu. They're probably not going to sign both.
I think White's getting traded at the trade deadline. I think his value is really low at the moment. And when you get him besides some defensive talented guards with Caruso and Lonzo coming back, hopefully, I think they want to boost White's value and hopefully get him out at the trade deadline so they don't have to worry about signing him to an extension, because there are a lot of players that are owed a lot of money coming up.
Yeah. And, you know, Drummond has a player option. Derrick Jones Jr. has a player option. And then, yeah, other than that, you re-signed Vucevic, you re-signed Dosunmu. Your books are starting to look pretty hectic. And then, you know, already after next year, DeRozan's expiring and you're going to have to pay him again. So it definitely gets tricky. So that's why. But as I said, Dosunmu, you could get him early bird with the early bird provision before, you know, another. You can't extend him. That's the thing with him only signing a two-year deal. You could only extend players that have a three-year contract. So he's going to hit free agency. It's just a matter of if the Bulls could beat any other team to him and get him locked down for cheaper than what he could be matched for. That's really what it comes down to.
Right. And again, I think whatever he's able to command in free agency, I fully expect the Bulls to match. And I know we're paying DeMar $27 million this year, $28 million next year. I don't expect him to be as good the next 2 years as he was this last year. So, you know, his salary, maybe we can get that salary a little bit lower. Maybe we can get him to also buy in and be on a contract that descends, going forward. Because when you have an ownership like the one the Bulls have, you know they're going to just tread on that luxury tax line. And if they are going to cross it, they're only going to cross it the once or twice and stay as far away from that repeater tax as possible. So any pennies you can pinch by being creative in how you structure the contracts, how you know, player options, bonuses, whatever you need to do, I think this front office is looking to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And one more thing I just want to note while we're on Dosunmu is that, as I said, another team could give him the max eligible, he'd be eligible to sign another team with, which is the mid-level exception. You have to basically, because he's eligible for that huge spike in the third year of the new deal he would sign, you have to average out that contract, and that's how much cap space a team has to have. So let's say a team does want to sign to that $89 million deal, where it jumps to $33 million in year three. That breaks out to what? 89 divided by 4, $22 million a year. A team would have to having cap space. So even if his starting salary is $10 million, you have to have $22 million cap space in order to sign.
Right.
So now, as I said, there will be a lot of young teams that would want him that have plenty of cap space, but that does limit you a little bit. $10 million in cap space and $22 million in cap space for one guy is a big difference.
Now I'm going to hit you with a question I didn't ask you before the pod. So if you don't have an answer, it's okay.
Okay.
Now, I know, so say free agency hits and Io re-signs with the Bulls and they use their mid-level to sign him. They just use the mid-level up and they sign him for the 3 years. The Bulls can't use their mid-level on someone else in that situation. Say the Pistons use their cap space to sign Io and the Bulls match the contract. Can they still then use their mid-level exception on another player? Because they are matching cap space.
If the Pistons bring him into cap space and the Bulls want to match,
right,
would that take up the Bulls mid-level?
Right. If he signs elsewhere and then the Bulls match the cap space offer, do they still have that mid-level to use?
I believe they would still have the mid-level to use.
So really, it might benefit the Bulls to have him sign elsewhere, match the offer, and then they would still have... they might still have their mid-level to sign another player.
Yeah, well, they could re-sign him, as I said, with the early bird provision anyway. But he could outplay that number.
I was going to say, that's a pretty low number, though, yeah. If I remember
it's
correctly.
It's 175% of what he's making now, which is a minimum, so that's off the table. So then you look at 105%, I believe. See, the 105 or 120. 105% of the league average salary in the previous season. So I believe the league average salary is about 8.5. So figure that I'd be starting in $9 million. So realistically, he would probably want the mid-level at that point to get the few extra million.
Right. I think he's going to command more money than that. Yeah. So, but it was something that went through my head. I wanted to run it by you. So
yeah, no, I believe if they're just matching, even if it's at mid-level money, it would just, you know, they have his restricted rights, they match it, they would still have the mid-level exception.
Right, and that would definitely send them into the tax. So that's not necessarily something I would expect the Bulls to do, but it is just something to have in the back of your mind going forward if, say, they have an extra successful season and maybe they do look like contenders with this group. I've mentioned the TV deal a couple times before. I wanted to just kind of dive into it with you, just because I had the chance to talk to you, and it's so much about the numbers. So we've seen this before. In 2016, we saw Kevin Durant take advantage of the cap spike because the TV deal came in and he was able to sign with the Warriors. When is the TV deal up now? What are we looking at going forward? And just kind of give us the next TV deal overlook.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure the TV deal would be starting in the 25-26 season. So the NBA, the last TV deal, when we had that huge cap spike, as you just referred to, they signed for a 9-year, $24 billion deal. But what Jabari Young reported back in March, from what I read, is that the NBA is seeking a $75 billion deal, which is three times as much as what the last one was. So we're looking at not only a cap spike, but, you know, like a substantial cap spike. So let's see.
In your notes here, it says a source told Forbes Morton Jensen the cap could reach as high as $171 million if they don't agree on cap smoothing.
And up until, what was it, like 2013, the cap was what, $70 million? So the fact that, you know, 15 years later, it's going to jump by $100 million is absurd.
That is a huge jump, but even to but numbers have jumped so much lately. Right now, cleaning the glass without the TV deal being projected and just the normal growth the league has had the last couple years, it's projected to be 141. So that would be a $30 million increase, which is just such a substantial, that's almost a max player for each team just in cap space.
And it's going to make teams a lot more willing to, you know, keep their guys as well, because, you know, you have more money to play with. So yeah, $171 million as high as, and you could see annual amounts of $15 million. So again, pretty substantial.
Right. And again, that would kick in the 25-26 season. So any contracts being signed going forward, that would be year three. So, someone who has, say, a $20 million contract 3 years from now, that number might look a lot better if the cap gets to jump up like it did.
Yeah, let's say Vucevic, because that would be let's say he signs that three-year deal like we said. The last year that deal would be the 25-26. That's when we'd be looking at. I don't know if it'd go to $171 million the first year of the TV deal, but either way, it's going to be, even if it's $15 million more than what it was in 23-24, because we're supposed to get another $10 million cap spike for this upcoming offseason.
Right. So if you can have Vucevic's number being $16 million in the year of the cap spike, the Bulls might be able to structure the contracts around being able to have some cap room to maybe bring one more person into a core that they think is one player away from being in title contention. So depending on how the Vucevic contract plays out, depending on how the IO contract plays out, and, you know, a couple others, the Bulls can, it's really going to be telling, I think, how they set themselves up for the next, for basically Zach's prime. It seems like they brought Vucevic in, then they brought DeMar in, they brought Lonzo in. Lonzo's a little bit younger, but I felt like they brought DeMar and Vucevic in to stabilize a franchise that had been seen as a laughingstock. They wanted to get good again. And you brought Lonzo and Caruso in, and they're like, you know, in their mid-20s. You've got Patrick Williams, who's 20 years old. You've got Io, who's 22. You've got Kobe White, who's 22. I think they wanted the Bulls to be good. And then, like, 3 years from now, when Lonzo's hitting his prime, Caruso's hitting his prime, you know, Lonzo's been in his prime and is ideally at his peak, you know, like that 30-31-year season, that's when you want to go into the tax. So, to me, I think the Bulls are waiting, you know, 2-3 years from now, we're looking at the Bulls hopefully being willing to go into the tax to build a team around Zach that is a title contender. What are your thoughts on that kind of, do you think that kind of team building, me looking at it that way, does it make sense to you as a cap guy? How do you see the Bulls cap going forward? When do you think they should maybe go for it with Zach?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to depend on what they resign Dosunmu to or what they have to match for him. Because again, if he's going to get that full max at $89 million and in 24, 25, he's making $33 million, then all of a sudden, even with a cap spike between him and DeRozan and Vucevic and Levine.
And Patrick Williams, who will be on an extension.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're not going in the tax this year. The luxury tax line's $149 million. They're at 148.6. So they just, you know, they're a hair under. I'm sure if they need to offload a Tony Bradley to make a subsequent other move to bring in a little few million dollars, they will. So they're not going to go in the tax this year. 23-24, the tax threshold's $161 million. I have them with nine guys under contract at $120.3 million. And figure Vucevic is about 18 mil. Dosunmu takes that mid-level money. That's all of a sudden $149 million committed to 11 guys. You could then still use the full mid-level exception and get a few minimums, and you'll be good. So I don't think even next year though there's much of a concern for the tax, because Io's not going to start him much more than the mid-level. Even if he takes a huge deal, it'll just be backloaded. And Vucevic, I don't think he's going to get that much more than $18 million.
I'm as a Bulls fan, I'm happy with that, because I don't think the Bulls are as much as I love this team with Vooch and DeMar, I don't think with them as the main guys, it's built to be a contender. I think if you have DeMar maybe coming off the bench or as your fifth guys, you know, your fourth and fifth guys, and you let Patrick Williams develop, you let Zach develop, you let Lonzo and Caruso, I think that is the core with maybe one other guy. I think that's the core the Bulls are looking to build around. Mm-hmm. And so if you have the luxury tax option for the 24-25 season and then the 25-26 cap spike season, if you can get some expirings for those years, maybe you set yourself up nicely to be able to trade for a disgruntled star, or, you know, just trade away the assets to get the cap space to sign somebody that you want to sign, because by then you'll have some picks you can trade away again. So to me, I think the Bulls are setting themselves up to really build towards the 24-25 and the 25-26 season. In terms of just like cap space, being able to strike, that sort of thing, contract structure. Do you agree with that? Looking over how they have things.
Yeah. So as I said, DeRozan's expiring at the end of next year. So figure he has something new kick in starting 24-25. Vucevic, if you re-sign, he'll be in the second year in 24-25, and then 25-26 in that big cap spike would be his last year. Lonzo, you have a player option 24-25. If, you know, he keeps having these injuries persist, he's going to opt into that, even though he's a fine player. Caruso, same thing. He's under contract through 24-25. Patrick Williams, you're going to have to extend. And then Dosunmu will be under contract at that point as well. So that's going to probably be what is that? Six big numbers you're going to have on the books. So I think that's a perfect opportunity right before that cap spike. Okay, yeah, we'll pay the tax issue. The cap could spike. You could then get out of the tax, even if you go on the tax of 24-25. And then when cap spike comes in, all of a sudden you're out of the tax again and still avoid the repeater tax, and then could go in the following year and do it all over.
Right, and how old is Zach right now?
How old is Zach? What is he, 27, 28? 27.
Turns 27. Right, so he's already had his birthday this year even. So, that's like his 29 through 31 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, I feel like, yeah, he might not be quite at his athletic peak, but I feel like those are the best years in terms of still having a lot of your athleticism, but having just the knowledge of the game, having put in, you know, the 10,000, you know, hours of just all of that breakdowns and having all of that. I think that's really when Zach is going to show off just his abilities. And I think that's what AK and the Bulls front office are banking on too.
Yeah. And, you know, at that point, DeRozan's going to be, 35 years old. Vucevic is going to be 33, 34. So you're really going to have to rely on Levine and Pat Williams and Dosunmu to really be that core. You know, I'm not seeing Vucevic and DeRozan.
Right, and Lonzo and Caruso.
Yep, and then Lonzo.
Jalen Terry, maybe he comes through. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap this thing up, but thank you for coming out of hiatus again, for coming on. Stephen Bagel from Bird Rights Podcast. Do your Twitter plugs, do all that before I wrap this thing up.
You could follow me on Twitter at Bird Rights Pod, all one word. And yeah, as I said, I'm going to be releasing a podcast this weekend. I'm going to be doing a team preview for all 30 teams with the beat writer or a reporter from each team, you know, doing a season preview or off-season review, you know, talking all the nerdy salary cap stuff that I love. And yeah, so if you're on the lookout for that, be on the lookout up leading through the season. I'm going to try to release 2 to 3 episodes a week. And yeah, I'm going to be guest appearing on podcasts just like I am with Trey here for other teams.
All right. And you can follow me on Twitter at Final Finally. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bowl coverage. I was your host for tonight, Trey Hill. See you soon, Keith.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.